Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, April 20th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. Wherever you may be, however you're tuning in, whatever you're doing, my hope is that you've just come ready to receive from the Lord tonight. And as is usual, we'll be here till approximately 8 o'clock. Obviously, it's set to end at 8. Sometimes we go right to the second. Other times we're done, like, 3, 5, 10 minutes prior. But anyhow, generally we run this from 6:30 to 8, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it's always a great thing when you guys decide to join, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And things starting to, if they haven't started, things are starting to open up in places. So that is very good to see. In some places in Florida, the beaches have been shut down. In some of those places, the beaches are opening back up. Georgia has determined that that certain places like nail places, hair salons, and others will be allowed to open on the 24th, restaurants and theaters on the 27th. So we're getting there. Today we had Michigan had the lowest amount of cases in almost a month. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I think, I feel that the trajectory of this thing is changing. I am feeling better about this. This doesn't mean we can stop praying. No, we gotta keep praying. We gotta keep believing God that God slows this thing down and put a stop to it so that it can't keep spreading. And on the other side of it, I share a belief held with many others. And what that is this. The cure cannot be worse than the problem. Sure, cannot be worse than the problem. In this case, the economic damage, social damage, and what have you, cannot be worse than COVID-19. No, it cannot be. And so that's something that we need to keep in mind. That's why we need to pray over our governors. And we need to pray that God continue to slow down this thing. Because a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago, literally a couple of weeks ago, we were literally at 17, 1800 a day. Remember that? On average for like a week. Literally. Now, like 650 the last few days. That's it. God is doing something. And but there's states like Massachusetts where it continues to go up at a very alarming rate. But God is going to do a thing. I know He is. And we have to continue to pray for the economy, that it comes back strong, and that we see that V-shaped recovery, so that we can, so that that news media can be proven wrong. And I think God's going to do some things in regard to this whole thing. I also think God's going to do some things in the spirit realm regarding this. What I'm talking about this segment, is right this second, when I say He's going to do some things in the spirit realm, I'm talking about in regard to in our churches, when our churches are allowed to meet back up again, based on when God tells our pastors that they can safely reopen. Because even if the state says you're fine, there's no penalty, you're free to open, but God says, tells them, wait a week or wait a couple weeks or whatever. I know with my pastor, he will be led by God on this. But I think we're going to see a move of God like we haven't seen before. I think we are. Because, you know, before we got locked down, we had the Holy Spirit conference. God moved so mightily there. And even the Sunday after that, you know, things were happening. And I'm sure it wasn't just at my church. I'm sure it was in spirit-filled churches all over America. But the devil wasn't happy. And you want to know something? God is bigger. God is greater. God is stronger. And God wins. God wins. Jesus won. And I believe that God is doing something regarding this virus. I believe we're going to be entering into a window. I don't know how much time, but there are things that God has churches to do. And I know God has not lost track of that. And so I think God is doing something, and we need to pray that this virus dies. Also, we need to bind Koran. That is the demon behind all this stuff, and Cupid, which is the spirit that has gotten on a lot of these officials. That's number two. Number three. Number three, we need to pray for our leaders who have authority over us, that they make wise decisions, and that they don't make these decisions anymore that are against Jesus. They won't come after our First Amendment rights anymore, nor will they go after our personal liberties anymore. So, need to pray for that. Number four. And this is a big one right now, and it'll get more important as we go through towards May 1st as this continues to slow down, as I know God's doing stuff with it. That is, pray for the economy. And just pray. If you're one of those people that lost your job, pray that you get it back. If you don't and want something better, pray that God give you an opportunity where you can earn more money. Praise God. Just believe God. Pray for the economy. Number five, healthcare providers. Pray that they are comforted and strengthened. Pray that they are at ease, that God would be on them, the doctors, the nurses, what they need to do. Pray that patients would be saved. Others, I mean medical patients, would be saved in the name of Jesus. Also, number six, I think number six that we should pray is for our pastors, and that is that they are strong, pray that the Lord comfort them so that they can go about doing what God has called them to do. And that we can get these churches back open. So we're going to do that. The reason I tell you all this is because you should be praying this. A couple other things. At noon, every day, curse this virus. Call it dead. Bind this other stuff that's behind it. Every day, read Psalm 23 out loud. On the daily. Also, also, although it was something else, but I forgot what it was. Or, Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. We come before you tonight. First of all, I curse this virus. I thank you that this thing draws powerless. This thing will die right here, right now. This thing that your word is stronger and greater. Your name is more powerful than this virus. And now, Lord, I bind this demon called Koran. And Koran, you can take your virus with you. I also bind stupid, which is the other spirit behind this. And I thank you that, Lord God, also for our leaders, who have authority over us. I thank you that they make the right decisions, and that they are led by you and that those who are not to be in office anymore, may they be dealt with by you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I pray, Lord God, also for, I thank you, Lord God, for the economy coming back. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these developments coming out of these states that are going to choose to, these states that are going to open up, for these states that are going to open up. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Also, Lord God, I thank you for, I thank you, Lord God, for you working your way. I mean, that you are working on the inside. Thank you for pent-up demand, Lord God. Also, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that your will be done with this economy. I thank you, Lord God, also for these healthcare providers. I thank you that you strengthened them tonight, that you strengthened them, and all these nurses and all these doctors and all these ambulance drivers and everyone who's out there on the front lines, that you're just bringing strength to them when they need it most, and that you are just working through them. Thank you that souls would be brought into the kingdom of God through these people that know you. And now, Lord, I thank you for our pastors, for my pastor, Mark P. Barclay, that you strengthen him. I thank you, Lord God, that you're just working through him as he follows you, and that your will be done through him. And they give you praise and glory for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Another thing, and then a couple of quick things. I wanted to let you know that McDonald's still has dollar any size sodas. You can still go through the drive-thru of your local McDonald's to get yourself an icy cold Coke for a dollar. Yes, it's essential. You know it is. So get out there and get one. Also, while you're out and about, go to your local donut shop maybe that you haven't been to before in a long time and get yourself one of those delicious, tasty donuts. Now, some people like to call them doonuts. Why? I don't know. Why do you think they like calling them doonuts? Why do they like to call them doonuts? Why? Oh, that's right. Do not eat them. Who cares? They're so yummy, though, and tasty. Just had to get that off my chest, but you can still go and get yours. As yes, donuts are also essential, because they have essential sweets in them. I didn't say you gotta eat one every day by any means. In fact, I don't. But you know, sometimes you need a little pick me up. A donut, give me that pick me up. And so, anywho. I just want you to prepare yourselves. I think we're going to see a great move of God coming up when the churches are allowed to reopen. And I think it's just going to be amazing what God is going to do. And so, get ready. Get ready. And so, I wanted to let you know, listeners, please tell others how you can, how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. You want to talk to me? Go ahead and call in. We can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. We want to talk about sports, about the NFL draft this week. You want to ask me a Bible question, whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not political, because I don't take time on the show to do politics. Right now, I am taking a couple minutes near the beginning, there near the front of the show, to kind of let you know how things are going at times, especially more so if things have changed like they have since last time I did this. Things have changed a little bit. That's why I took a couple minutes to bring you guys up to speed. And it's good. But anyhow, if you want to talk to me, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through to a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller, and then I'll let you on. So that you will be able to talk to me. Now, I'm going to sing a couple of songs. Then we're going to play over the show. Then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord. So, who makes the whole world? Now who is the whole world of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth in holy thunder? Whose love is mighty in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who shakes the whole, who brings all chaos back into order? Who's the other and only order? The King of glory, the King of glory, who shakes and brings the nation with truth and justice, who's loving and own brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Yeah, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Yeah, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Lord, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Lord, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Lord, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. We wait for you. We wait for you. Oh, hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. We sing, God. There's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. There'll never be anyone like you. Never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. Never be anyone like you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these listeners who have chosen to tune in tonight to learn about you, Jesus, to learn more about your ways, to learn how they can live like you, walk like you, how they can learn how to talk like you, Jesus, and walk the way you walked. And I thank you, Lord God, that every need would be met tonight. Every need of all these listeners. And I make my confession tonight over the show that finances would come in, that increases in listenership would come to this program, that that sponsors and partners would come in. And most importantly, I thank you for increases in souls coming into this program in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go with me, if you will, please, to the book of Acts chapter 1. Praise God, Acts chapter 1. This is the chapter, one of them, where Jesus is taken up into heaven. Acts chapter 1, going to begin in verse 1. If you go to Rome, you went too far. I've already found my spot, so I discern that some of you have lost. that I have beaten some of you there. I'm going to begin reading it. I want you to be a part now. Don't go to sleep on me. And if you got a Bible app on your phone, use it. Open it up. And verse 1 of Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the days he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has sent to his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and the crowd hid him from their sight. A cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, whom has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. verse 12 now. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. I don't know why. Why would anyone want to name their kid Bartholomew? Bartholomew. Why would anyone name their kid Bartholomew? Any idea? I don't understand it. Do you? Well, I don't. Anyhow, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, Judas, son of James. Then they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and of his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, in parentheses, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, where the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. The reward he got, with the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, and they called that field in their language Aldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, oh, by the way, for, he was not on a golf course. Peter was not on a golf course. It is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of those must become a witness with us, with his resurrection. Of his resurrection. So, they prophesied two men. Joseph called Barsabbas, about also known as Justus, J-U-S-T-U-S, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us, out of these two that you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left, where Judas left to go where he belongs, Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So, Jesus, at this point, had went up into heaven, but he reappeared to the disciples. And he's sitting there, he's talking to them, they're eating, and then he says something to them, specifically responding it. In verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, red letters, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, those last couple of verses, I read them slow on purpose. I wanted you to understand. You're not going to know the time or the date that the Father sets by his own authority. We're not going to know when he's going to come. But he told us, he said, we're going to receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. By the way, for us, this would be to wherever we are and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon my people. Later, he goes on to say, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. It could be the other way, too. But it's just what he had said. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. I know old people can see visions. Young people can dream. But I think that God is going to pour out his Spirit. I think we're going to see an outpouring, an anointing level that we haven't seen in my lifetime, possibly ever. Yes, there will be a falling away. I also think there will be people who were brought up in the church, brought up in the things of God, decided, I'm getting away. Why do I need to go to church? Why should I bother? Yeah, I love Jesus, but can't I do my own thing for a bit? I think you're going to see some of those people decide to come back home. The prodigals are coming home. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. The Bible said, Jesus said that in the last days, he would pour out his Spirit upon all men. I don't I don't have to think about it. I don't have to guess about it. I know this. Jesus said this. And prodigals coming home, that's just one of the things you're going to see in this outpouring. I think you're going to see a hunger for Christians, from Christians for greater anointing. I think when people get back into church, into the churches, I think we'll find that we have this yearning, because I think the people of God have gotten too familiar with church. And being we haven't necessarily been in there in a while, maybe we've lost that familiarity. Because that sin of familiarity is so sneaky. And if you got it, you need to break it. I think we'll have a yearning to be there, a yearning to have more of the presence of God in our lives. Because it's not about the building. It's not about the building. No, it's not. It's not about the building. It is about the presence of God, though. And I think we're going to see people falling out on us in the spirit. I think we're going to see demons shrieking when they come out of people. I'm not just talking about in my church specifically. I'm talking about more so in the body of Christ. And we need to believe God. And also prepare. Because we're in the last of the last of the last days. And while there will be much evil in the last days, there already is. We're getting very close. There, Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon man. That means there will be the glory cloud. And you'll be able to notice the difference between the dark cloud and the glory cloud. Not blurry. Both are strong. And I think the fact that people aren't as familiar with church as they know it, I think that will cause the Spirit of God to move more mightily than what has been seen in a long time. Now, God was doing great things, awesome stuff right before the lockdown. The devil wasn't happy. Like I said a little bit ago, the devil came in through his tantrum. And that's why I keep cursing this virus, because it's got to go. And I know God is working on it. And so what I'm saying right now is I think we're going to see many souls coming into the kingdom of God from this. People are going to decide, I'm hungry. Is there a God? People need hope. They can find it in Him. Oh, by the way, maybe you listeners, you'll remember this. Maybe you won't. In like 3, 4, 5 days, here's what happened. All of the so-called gods, all of those gods that people would worship on earth fell. Well, basically in one day, the NBA fell, the NHL fell, the MLB fell, NCAA fell. All these four other sport alphabet sporty thingies fell. Movies canceled. Broadway canceled. Done. Concerts fallen. And since they have no other gods to worship, that means that people will come and give their life to Jesus. Now, yes, I know that they, all of those things I mentioned will come back. They will. And hopefully when that happens, people won't just decide, oh, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, but by the way, there's a game on Sunday, so I can't come to church. Oh, let me see. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, baseball. Also, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, my church meets. Let me think here. Hey. Yep, you won't have to think. But it's just like I said, though. People need hope. And those other so-called gods, they didn't die for your sins. They didn't die on the cross for you. Let me think here. What football athlete died on the cross for you? What about those basketball players? Baseball? Golf? No, I don't watch golf. The only sport I can think of now that someone might play might be toilet paper ball. Where you're just throwing rolls of toilet paper or your kids trying to play, use it to play catch. Just kidding. But they, who knows? But they're all over, but they're all, they did not die for you. Jesus did. But then Judas, you see, he decided to betray him. He decided to use that inheritance that he got to go buy his own field. And he got himself into this deep trouble. Deep trouble for what he did. Deep trouble for what he did. Because he decided to crucify Jesus afresh. Now, Peter had denied Jesus, but then Judas, he had two different sets of friends, two different vocabularies, two different sets of clothes. He was a messed up dude, man. He was messed up. Why was he so messed up? Well, I don't know. But you see, Jesus had been speaking to them, and then he went right up into heaven. Then the disciples got together. They appointed someone to replace him. Then they met together daily, having prayer meetings. Let's look at first couple passages of Acts 2. I love Acts 2. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all watching a football game at the local B-dubs eating wingdings. Oh, wait a minute. Is that in there? Kelly, does it say that? Isn't that what it says? They were all together sitting there watching a football game? Oh. They were all together gathered for a light show. Oh, really? Really? Oh, no. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and it separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Parthians, Malians, and I'm skipping where it says all these different, where all they were from. The Arabs. We hear all these different people declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What's this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much to drink." Now let's look and see what Peter has to say. Verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Underline that. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus of Nazareth, the man accredited by God, by you, the miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among them, and you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, raising up the angry to death, to keep its hold on him. David then, about him, I saw the Lord above before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I'm going to stop there. Now, everybody's gathered together in one place in the house of God. In the that point, they're in the church, they're in the sanctuary. Sound comes like that of the mighty wind. And it fills the whole house where they are. Not just the nursery, not just the bathroom, not just a certain section of the sanctuary, not just the children's wing. The whole house of God. Everybody was together, worshiping, praising God, having church. Then, suddenly, revival breaks out. Tongues come to rest on them. And they talk about how they hear all these different languages. You know what they were doing? People were praying in the Holy Ghost. They were praying in the Holy Ghost. And when you're praying in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues, can another human say, he is just actually saying, give me French toast, waffles, and bacon for breakfast. Imagine if it came out as that, right? It's a praying in tongues. If that really came out to mean, oh, he means give me French toast, waffles, and bacon. Wouldn't that be wild? I think it'd be funny. But no. There's a much greater meaning than that. That prayer language, that having that prayer language, that fire of God, that was Pentecost. And all these people who didn't know about the things of the Holy Spirit, they're all like, these people are drunk. These people are crazy. These people are just crazy. They're having too much fun. They're in the streets of Jerusalem. People think they're just going crazy. Peter goes up to them and he tells them, listen, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m., it's only 9 in the morning. Not that that would make a difference. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. God's new wine. Now, the NIV version doesn't say God's new wine. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why they were praying in tongues. That's why they had all that joy. That's why they... We had a song that we used to sing back in the late 90s about it. I might attempt to sing it in a few minutes. Why am I not? It's been so long, Slater, crazy. This is that spoken by the gold. It's falling out. Nope. I was just thinking for a second. That's all. Now I remember it. I mean, and I remember this was back, like I said, though. But anyhow, listeners, also, we read what I had said a few minutes ago. God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all men, on all people, actually. Your old folks, you know, your young people will see visions. Your old folks will dream dreams. He didn't say what young or old meant. He didn't give it. He didn't give a number. Also, he didn't leave middle age out either. He didn't give a middle bracket. He just old and young. But it can go the other way too. Yeah. True, but like I said though. I think we're going to see the Spirit move in a way we haven't seen in a long time. I think people are using this time to get right with God. I think also God is working on people. I think God is getting things ready. And I think we're going to have a window of time. You said you know how long it'll be? No, I don't know. But I think we are going to see moving of the Holy Ghost. You know, you'll have to enter in if you want a part of it. It won't just come on you if you're just going to be all distracted all the time. You've got to be open. You've got to be expecting God to move. When you go to church, you'll have to be expecting Him to move. You have to be expecting and confessing. When I go into the house of God, I will not come out the same way I entered it. I come out healed, set free, delivered. And I'll come ready. I'll come expecting for God to move. I'll come expecting. I'll come ready to hear the word of the Lord from my pastor or whoever is going to preach. And I think. As you come expecting, you'll see God move. But also, as we ask God to help us in our day-to-day life, we can have our own revival in our heart. Because revival isn't just something that happens in the church, though a church is a part of it. It happens as God's people repent, as God's people decide that they want more of Him and less of themselves. That's when it happens. That's when it truly happens. And it's the amazing thing. I think there's going to be a lot of souls in the kingdom of God. I think you're going to see a lot of drug addicts get free. I think you're going to see people who were in prison. They're going to be without and turn their life around and turn to Jesus. And they're going to live for Him. I think we're going to see that happen, and then we won't have this dry season anymore. But the people have to want it. People have to want it. Now, I'm going to sing that song. They were rocking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. But Peter said, "These are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled in the Holy Ghost. This is the old prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is it. That's pouring out today. It's all right. It's got the new wine. They were looking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They just having so much fun. Then Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled in the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's got a new one. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's all fun. It's all fun. It's God you want. The Holy Ghost, that's God's new wine. It's not, and by the way, it's not a man-made drink, by the way. It's the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not bottled, it's not canned, it's not draft, it's not like that. at all. It's divine. It's what God wants us to operate in. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And I think we're just going to see the Holy Spirit move in ways we haven't seen him move. Because what I've seen happen in a few services just before this all happened, imagine what he's going to do after this. And this was just on my spirit all day after what I had heard Dr. Buckley talk about yesterday morning. Now, Lord, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit flowing through all of us, that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and that it strengthens us, and that Jesus gives us all a hope. He gives us a future. Thank you that he moves on the inside of us, and that he's moving in our midst. Thank you that we would all learn, that we all learn something from this word, and we would put it to use. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wanted to remind you of something that I heard my pastor say a couple of years ago. And one of them is, notifications are not anointed. No, they're not. Oh, the notifications you get on your phone, ding, dong. All those. How many of those are anointed? Oh, none of them. No, they're not. So when you're trying to pray, you should shut those off. And when you're trying to read your Bible, you should shut it off too, because let me remind you something. This book cannot check the weather. This cannot check your Facebook. This can. This will not tell you, the Bible will not tell you the sports scores. Phone will. All you have to do is ask Siri. But I can't ask Siri how many people got saved at my last service at my church. If she can tell you how many, what happened at the ball game, don't you think she should tell you how many people got saved? Wouldn't you think she would? No, Siri's not saved. Nor is the Google Assistant or any of the other ones. They're not saved at all. Don't ask me how I know. They're just not. Someone tried to do a video of Siri praying in tongues. I know that wasn't real, though. When you're praying and reading your Bible, you need to focus on that. Turn the bing, ding, bong, whistle, vibrate, the little cow that vibrates. You know the little cow you got in your pocket? Off. Or at least hide it somewhere so you can focus. Because like I said, notifications are annoying. And then, I just thought I'd tell you that to help you. Praise God. Now, NFL draft is this week. Lions are supposed to have the third pick. It is said, though, that some teams are interested in trading down. I don't have all of the different scenarios for that in front of me right now. I will be looking at that tomorrow, and I'll talk to you about some of those possibilities tomorrow night. Draft is Thursday night, Friday and Saturday in Las Vegas. And it's a good timing because it gives us something different to watch, where they're not talking about the virus every 5 minutes. I mean, every 30 seconds. But you'll be able to hear it on ESPN 100.9 FM. You'll be able to hear the draft. And you say, Miracle Man, will there be a 2020 football season? I think yes. I honestly believe there will be. I think God is going to do something. The plague will be stayed. I think this will go away, way to the point where it'll be safe sooner than not many people think. I don't think it'll be the 18 to 24 months that people are trying to do. The selfier, don't give into that stuff. You're the liar. I think in the fall you'll see those football stadiums back how they were, loud, people into it. By the way, listeners, I had dreams about marching band last night. Maybe that was God telling me that it's going to be back this year. Do you think that's what it could have been? Because I had dreams about it, and in the dream I could hear them. I could also hear a packed stadium. I don't know if it was college or Ford Field or if it was Midland. I know the band I could hear was Midland. But I had a packed stadium, too, that could have been the same stadium or a different one. I think God is in the midst of doing something. I think the trajectory is looking less ominous. Like not as bad as it was a few days ago. And I think God is in the midst of doing some things. And so, praise God. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.